Welcome back to Thursday Gatherings with Joe and Judy. We are back in Isaiah, and since we met after have taken a couple of weeks off, we just started the night by hearing updates from everybody, and that's always nice to kind of hear what's going on in everybody's life. One of our number one fan is moving to London for her master's, and it's going to be crazy without her and super sad. We're going to miss her so much. She brings so much to the group. But just hearing about where people are with their jobs, and another one of our guys just got his own apartment, and he might be the first in the group to move out. And he's only like 22 or 23. So that's pretty impressive. He graduated with mechanical engineering, already had a job lined up, and it's only been a couple of months since he graduated, and he's already out of the house. So congratulations to him. That is very hard to do nowadays. Everything is incredibly expensive. That takes a lot of planning.
And he's going to be doing his master's.
Yeah, and he's already started his master's. So he's impressive. But just hearing where everybody is with school and work and life, it's always good to kind of spend some time in that. That was probably like the first hour of the night. So we only read one chapter.
But that was okay because it was a short chapter anyway. It's about 12 verses.
Right. It was, yeah, that's all we got to. So we did Isaiah chapter 25, which is only 12 verses. Joe, would you like to summarize that for us?
Sure. So unlike some of the other chapters, which were just destroying, you know, destroy this city, destroy this other city, destroy the world. This is a, like the header, as the header says, it's a praise to the Lord, which you might be wondering, why are we praising the Lord after he has destroyed everything? And that's what the chapter kind of talks about a little bit, kind of bringing a different view of God through, you can view destruction, but you have to see some of the beauty and some of the reasoning that's there and behind it. The character of God is kind of shown in this chapter a little bit.
Was that your full summary?
Yeah, I mean, it's 12 verses. I can probably just read the chapter.
No, nobody wants to hear that. Remember, you should always just be reading it on your own, either before or after you listen. But speaking of character, that's one of the first things that was said is the very first verse, which I will read. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them out long ago, and now you have accomplished them. That is speaking to the character of God. So that's like one of the first things we talked about, is just how it's a nice verse to start it off with. Speaking of the character of God.
And then it goes into the thing that he planned being in verse 2. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin. The foreigner's stronghold, a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Again, we have to keep in mind that the first 24 chapters of this book have been various places being destroyed for the various sins and acts that they have committed. And this includes Jerusalem and Judah. So these are God's people. Nobody is spared in this. Well, scratch that. People will be spared. There will be pockets of people within each of these groups. But is the sense that he didn't say, all right, this city is okay, but everybody else is getting punished. No, everybody's getting punished.
Yeah, and remember, this is like over a long period of time of them turning their back on God, what God is telling them to do, and trying to take matters into their own hands and being prideful and all of that.
Yes, that is something to keep in mind as you read through Isaiah, that a lot of this stuff took place over hundreds of years. Isaiah himself, as he's writing this stuff, this was over the course of roughly about 40 years. So keep in mind the time. There's a lot of time here.
So in verse 8, it says, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. And the group was kind of talking about how that, especially the wiping away your tears part, that's a pretty intimate act. I definitely don't let people touch my face when I'm crying. you have to be really close to someone. So even just the imagery of that, letting God wipe away your tears, being close enough in relationship for him to do that is pretty. What's another word besides intimate?
Well, I mean, intimate is a good word. Close, caring,
loving, I guess. Yeah. Just shows that he's loving.
But something to keep in mind, and this is an important piece, that people try to separate, and they'll try to say things like Old Testament God and New Testament God. Old Testament God being a little more destructive, and New Testament God being like a loving God. This is the same God. We worship the same God. And the same hand that destroyed the city is the hand that's wiping away the tears. And that's an important thing to understand.
Yeah, there's one song that says you are the same God. I don't remember the song, but you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you do. And with verse 8 also being a little bit of foreshadowing, he will swallow up death forever. What is that foreshadowing?
I mean, I believe that would be, you know, Jesus and his sacrifice in defeating death. That would be my opinion.
Your educated guess on that verse. So going into verse 9, it was brought up, like, we had a couple of new people. So since we're on chapter 25, there was just some questions on what we've previously read. And we were talking about verse 9 and who is it really talking to? And is it a reference to Revelation? Was it God's intention to reference this verse in Isaiah, or was it something else? So we talked about that for a little bit.
Yeah, the first question was who is Isaiah? Because Isaiah, that's the book of Isaiah is his prophecy and going out and talking to various people. And in this moment, the question was, who is he talking to, like, right now? Is he talking to a group of people? Is he talking to a king? I honestly don't know the answer to that. It could be very well be either of those. Again, Isaiah was going through this prophecy for about 40 years. The whole length of this book is just all these prophecies were over the course of 40 years. So Isaiah probably looks like that crazy guy out there, because you have to keep in mind some of the prophecy that he's saying is, like, at this point, Babylon and Assyria are world powers. These are the top, biggest, baddest cities around. And he's saying that you're going to be destroyed and wild animals are going to be living there. And so they're probably like, this dude is a nut. He is an absolute lunatic. What is he talking about? So who can say who he's talking to? He might have been a king, might have been just a group of people. Could have been himself. I don't know. Don't know. As far as the wording goes, we were kind of talking about how a lot of what is written in Isaiah, and particularly that one little section there, kind of echoed from Revelation a little bit, or echoes into Revelation. And the kind of side, you know, chat we were having about it was, did John, when he had his prophecy and he started writing it down, did he intentionally use the words from Isaiah, or did he accidentally use the words from Isaiah? I mean, it's all kind of apocalyptic destruction type writing, so it's very similar. But whether it be accidental or intentional, I mean, if it's intentional, that is truly some, like, deep level, he really thought about it. But it, accidental or otherwise, it doesn't matter. Any Jews that hear the prophecy of Revelation could have kind of drawn a line, because they would have known the prophecies in Isaiah. And it kind of goes to show, you know, history does repeat itself. This would have been Isaiah being several centuries before John's even alive. So it just goes to show, you know, empires falling, the apocalyptic writing, this all tends to have a repetition and come back around.
Yeah, I would think that even if it wasn't intentional, it's like, you know, you've heard it before, and so it comes to mind when you're, you know, sometimes when you say something, you think it's an original thought, but then someone's like, oh, isn't that from the book of Isaiah? So I feel like it could have been that too. We were talking about death and how it was never a part of God's plan. I'm trying to find where that was. Oh, in 8, where it says he will swallow up death forever. So I guess we spent a lot of time on verse 8, but there's a lot going on in that verse. So we were talking about it and how death wasn't around when Adam was first created. It wasn't brought to light, started happening until the first sin. And so I think we should remember that God doesn't like death. It's sad for him too. It's a part of our lives now. It's always been a part of our lives, but one day he will get rid of it. It'll be no more. When Jesus returns, death is not something that has to be faced anymore. And so, I don't know, we talked about that being kind of comforting in grieving times, because with death comes grief, but it was never a part of his plan. And it's something we live with now, but not forever. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think, I feel like last several times we've met up, I feel like I'm constantly saying it. I mean, it's truth. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times I say it because it's truthful. But there's never a wrong time to turn back to God. And yeah, Jesus being the defeater of death, like he will meet you where you are. And you have to kind of submit and humble yourself. Take away the pride. I know that we talked about pride a little bit.
Yeah, during that. We had a tangent on pride. But not only will he meet you where you are, but you're also never too far gone to receive his love and grace. So that's an important thing to remember as well.
Yeah, I think what turned into the tangent on pride a little bit was that sometimes the hardest thing for people to do is to admit I'm wrong and I need to do the right thing. And it's overcoming that sense of pride and coming and trying to seek God in humility. That's when you begin the actual healing and the actual journey towards salvation.
Yeah, and it's amazing what type of healing can occur when you give your life to Christ. Unimaginable healing, really.
Now, this isn't like a magic trick. You don't just say, Jesus, I'm following you now, and all your problems are solved in a moment. No, it's a journey.
It's a journey. It's an ongoing transformation from like the heart, your heart, so like the inside of you to the outside of you and your actions.
And you have to have the mindset that there's always something more that you can improve. I myself have many things that I wish to improve upon to be a good servant in God's kingdom.
Yeah, there was something that we call reset night. It's like we do it once a quarter, and it's different than a Sunday morning where you're hearing like a pastor's sermon. We eat dinner together and sing worship together, and then we hear like personal testimonies. And one of them was on forgiveness. And when we broke off into like groups to talk about the testimony and pray together, we were talking about what forgiveness looks like and if there was people that we needed to forgive and what our struggles were and hurdles with that process. And so it's like, yeah, it's definitely have people in my life it is one of the things they said is forgiveness is a process. And I'm like, yes, that makes sense, because it's not something that you just say and one day it's done. It is something that is a process. And one of the ways they said, they give a couple examples of this is how you know you've actually forgiven the person. But one of them is when the situation or the person comes up, it no longer brings you anger, but you feel peace about it. And so I can honestly say there's forgiveness I have given to people in my life, but man, there are definitely still some people I'm working on. So it is ongoing for sure. We are not perfect.
Nobody is perfect. And again, to the people that feel like you can't even begin because you feel you're so far gone, that's never the case. there's always a chance to turn around and start heading towards the right path. So that's kind of what I have on that.
I think that might be kind of what we have on this 12-verse chapter, unless you have anything else that stuck out to you.
No, there's nothing in particular. I feel like this was some of the first foreshadowing of Jesus that we see.
No, I feel like we had
like one other that was kind of like ambiguous, but swallowing up death is kind of a pretty clear line.
Pretty clear. Earlier you said it was an educated guess.
No, this is true.
Well, then that makes this episode kind of short. A nice little easy to process nugget eases back into maybe covering a couple of chapters at once. So we'll see what next week brings. But in the meantime, thanks for listening.
Jesus loves everybody. That's including you.